Come on, give it up for Jesus today at all of our campuses. Come on, you can do better than that. Yeah, he's good. Yeah. Hey, wasn't that creative, incredible? I'm amazed when I look online, I can kind of see what's going on. At every single campus, we have the most talented people. I mean, at every one of them doing this, and I'm just absolutely blown away. I remember when we first started, and we had the church in Fenton, and then we would go back to Earth City back and forth. We had the same worship team. That's all we had. And every week, they run back and forth, and I could not be more proud of all the people. I want to say this. Today, I was walking through the back of a high school. If you don't know, that's what we're in here in Florida. Except that those would be at RPC, and I looked, and there's a big ladder up where all the fire gear is, and I can only assume, I didn't hear about it, but I can only assume that this morning they had to find a ladder and make the fire alarm go off, and I saw all the stuff at all of our campuses, the people that set out the signs, who got there early and cleaned the nursery and turned it all on. Let's give it a big God bless you to all the Dream Team making it happen. Yeah. Look at your neighbor and say, what did you do? And just look back and say, I'm pretty. I bring pretty. Hey, I also am excited about this last week. I got to meet a lot of new people there at Weldon. I got to spend time as Nicole was preaching and visit with our family at Weldon Spring. Phenomenal. So many nice people. What a great campus. And you guys are really doing great. And then drove over, that's about probably 40 minutes over to the Ferguson campus. And man, those people know how to have some church at Ferguson. And I just, again, want to say thank you for being there. Thanks for letting me be your pastor, and I'm excited about what God's going to do in our lives and through our lives to change people's lives in Jesus' name. If you didn't get one of these, I want you to get it. It's this really cool graphic on the front, but it says, I receive the promise of his presence, and goes through the Lord is my shepherd. And the next one is, I receive the promise of provision. Notice the words promises. I receive the promise of peace. I received the promise of protection. I received the promise of prosperity, which we're going to talk about next week. And it's just really neat. I keep it in my car. I've got one in my bathroom mirror. It's just really good. Plus, if you're like struggling in Florida and it's hot, you don't have money to have AC, you can fan yourself. Come on, somebody. Anybody ever fanned yourself in church? Raise your hand. Come on. If you didn't raise your hand, I'm assuming you're not a hottie. And Nicole tells me, as you get older, you have heat flashes. Amen. Today, verse 4 is where we're going to pick up on it. Verse 4. And it says this. It says, even though I walk through, notice I don't camp out. I walk through, everybody shout that with me, what?
I walk through.
Come on, every campus, real loud, what?
I walk through.
The darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why? For you're with me. My little grandson today, he said, Papa, come. He takes me. We go up to my room. He jumps up to the bed and says, show. He wants me to turn the TV on so he can watch a show. And he's just ding-donging around in there, but he just feels protected. And I took a shower, kept one ear off on him, and then he came in about 5 minutes later. He saw the shower he wanted in. He wouldn't say, try. So stripped him butt naked, cutest little booty you ever saw in your life. Shower's coming down on him. He's reorganizing everything. And then I looked over and I looked, and he had Nicole's razor because she like a smooth leg. I said, oh, no, we can't have that. I had to fight him. But why did I do that? Because his mother would kill me if I didn't do it. No, I do it because I want to protect him, because I love him. So if I love him, I mean, this kid's unreal. If you could see the whitest butt in your life, it's just unreal. He's stacked and jacked. He's standing there. And he's protected. Do you think I'm going to let anything happen to him? No, there's no way. Wait, I'm here to tell you that your God at every campus today, he loves you so much. Even though you're walking through the darkest moment of your life, nothing is going to happen to you. Why? Because the Lord loves you. He does. He loves you. Oh, no, you don't know how bad I've been. No, I don't. Don't really want to, because it would make it awkward for us. But I guarantee you that you haven't done anything. I like the word worser. You haven't done anything any worse than anybody else has done. So what you're doing is you're comparing what you did to what he did. Okay, when Jesus died on the cross, he's this incredible, precious, pure, holy, sanctified Savior. And I clicked one page too far on a website or whatever. His love for you is so big and it's so out of control and it's so voracious that there's nothing that could stop him. That's why I love our worship team, because they start singing songs like, you know, there's no wall he won't kick down. You start hearing that and all of a sudden it changes you from the inside. Nothing is ever going to change first on the outside. Something changes on the inside. In fact, success, they say, is an inside job. Wow. That's quotable. Might have stole that for John Maxwell. I'm not sure how I stole it for him. Usually I'll tell who it was, and then after the third time I'll say, as I always say. But sometimes when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you're tempted to fear because there's something out there that you don't know about. Have you ever stayed up all night worried about something and in the light of day, you're like, I can't even, it wasn't a big deal. But in the middle of the night, all of your tabs were open, right? Did I lock the door? Did I unplug the Christmas tree? Nicole told me, she went to Alabama, that I got to give the little dog. Her little dog has anxiety issues, so I have to give it 3 melatonin a day. 3. 1 little wrap cheese, 2 little wrap cheese, 3. Did I give the dog melatonin? And you say, you can make fun of that dog all you want, but the dog's this big. We have a 90-pound Doberman. The dog every day is like, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, where in God's name is my melatonin? The struggle's real, yeah? So the thing you're worried about, maybe the retirement, maybe the job, maybe the rejection, my biological clock, my son who's on drugs, my daughter who won't talk to me. We all have these things, and the problem is that we're walking through it, that God said, here's the key to walking through this stuff is, what if you do? Don't fear evil. Because no evil's gonna happen to you, because as soon as you got the razor, your papa's going to come in and say, no, in a loving way, don't do that. That's not good for you. And you might fight and go, no, I do want to worry about it. I am controlling me, and you're not the boss of me, but I'm bigger than him. So I just pulled it out of his little white booty and took it away. First of all, I don't want Nicole's legs all hairy. Come on, somebody. I want a smooth leg. Smooth legs. Unlike mine. Look at that. My gosh, look at that. But you're afraid of what you can't see. I heard a story about a little boy that his mom kept saying, go outside and get my broom on the porch. Go get my broom. He said, Mom, I'm scared. Go get my broom. It's not a big deal. Just go out there and get the broom. She said, Jesus will be with you. Jesus is out there. So he opened up the door and said, Jesus, if you're out there, would you pass me that broom? Come on, that doesn't get any better than that. But I think it describes the story, doesn't it? That sometimes we can't see Jesus and we can't feel Jesus when we're walking through the valley. So sometimes we got to say, hang on a minute. I understand right now that I'm going through something, but actually I'm going to something. So I'm going to focus on what I'm going to instead of what I'm going through. And if I need a melatonin, I'll take it. Maybe 2, maybe 3. By the way, your body makes melatonin. Let's just pause here for a minute for all the doctors at the church. They'll be proud of me. They'll text me on this one. So when you go to bed at nighttime, what happens is the sun goes down my side of town. When the sun goes down, your body starts resting and it goes into a circadian rhythm of rest. So God knew if you didn't recharge your batteries that you would die, because you're a workaholic. Some of you, raise your hand if you're a workaholic and you'd work all the time. Not many workaholics, mostly alcoholics here in Florida. But, okay, so you go to bed and the sun goes down, you're supposed to go to sleep. And now we have all this artificial lighting, right? So lighting everywhere. And then we sit there with our phones scrolling on TikTok and Instagram. And I've done it myself. Have you ever gotten so tired and you kind of dozed off and the phone dropped and hit you? And come on, who wants to raise your hand right now? If you're not raising your hand, you're old. us youngsters, we do this. I was like, oh my gosh, I hope I didn't chip a tooth. So your body wants to make melatonin. Now, when you watch the news all the time, all that negative news comes on the inside of you. I'm talking still about this. You're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You walk through COVID. You walk through the worst economy in 40 years. Then how do you fear no evil? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Oh, with long life he'll satisfy me and show me his salvation. I just decree and declare right now that I'm blessed coming in, I'm blessed going out, and everything my hand touches turns to good. I furthermore declare, according to Isaiah section 53, section 5, it says this, that no weapon that is formed, sure it's formed, but it will not prosper. I'm anointed, I'm qualified, I'm bold, I'm courageous, I'm a success going somewhere to happen. I am not here in this world system. Come on, somebody. In other words, you're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're going to walk with it like a pimp walk. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at myself and realize ain't nothing left. I've been living in pieces alone. Sorry, man, that came out of some tab somewhere. Raise your hand if you're having fun. Okay, so the fear of the unknown, I want you to write that down. The fear of the unknown. What you don't know scares you. I had a friend who flew all the time. He wasn't the pilot, but he's sitting in the back. He was a preacher. His wife only flew with him occasionally. And somewhere over Tennessee, a bad storm hit. They had some problems, and the pilot came on and told them, we're going to crash. How many of y'all hate it when that happens? And this guy's wife said, we're going to die. And he said, I will not die. There'll not be a scratch on me in the name of Jesus. Well, the pilot did the best he could. They crashed the plane, banged it up, but really almost severed her leg. And he walked off and said, praise God, brother. Nothing happened to him. I firmly believe that the power of life and death are in your tongue. And there's a lot of things that are happening in your life right now. Come on, somebody in St. Louis ought to shout amen. There's a lot of things that are happening in your life right now because you're saying the wrong thing. And one of the reasons why we say the wrong thing is because sometimes we like to say the wrong thing because it gets us attention. But what you're around a lot, you tend not to fear. People always tell me, I'm a pilot, and they say that small airplanes kill people. No, people kill small airplanes. Ashton, I raised her around planes her whole life. I flew her all over America. There's nothing she hasn't done. Every show, Dance Moms, all her shows, everything is going on in her life. It was just there. Therefore, she can still, and we still have to travel all the time. She comes in a plane and she's just relaxed. You can hit turbulence and thing can be, we could be in a thunderstorm and she'll just sleep right through it. Well, number one, her mom gives her 4 melatonin every day. I didn't mean it. Yes, I did. But my point is, what you're around, to her, it's like bumps on a road. You're not going to fall out of the sky. It's got big wings. It's a big glider, okay? But what you're not around a lot tends to scare you. So that's why you got to get around the right people. If you will get in church, you'll stop freaking out because you'll realize all of my friends think this way, that God's going to take care of me in grand style. Why? Because he loves me. Not because of what I've done or what I didn't do. He just loves me because he is the third person. Come on, somebody of the Trinity. We got one God and three people, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's on the inside of you, and he's the one, listen to this, that directs you on what to do. Put that scripture up one more time. Let's just always leave those up back if you could. I will fear no evil. I want to go to a video in a minute, and the reason why this video, if I want to play this video, is some of my team said it's really outdated, and the lady, you know, she looks a little outdated. But I met this woman. And first of all, how many of y'all remember exactly where you were at 9/11? Remember when the Twin Towers hit? You remember exactly, right? Because it was such a big moment. You'll never forget that. And this Holy Ghost woman is going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but she was listening to the inside. Okay, there's always voices on the outside and voices on the inside. And the voice on the inside, by the way, I hear this by the Spirit of God. A lot of the things, this is a word of knowledge. A lot of the things you know to do, you know what to do, you're just not doing it. God, tell me what to do. God, show me what to do. God, tell me what to do. God, show me what to do. God, tell me what to do. Show me what to do. Tell me what to do. And you already know what to do. You're just not doing it. So what do we do? What I always do is I go back. They call it dead reckoning and flying. You go back to the last place you remember that you knew where you were. So first of all, you got to know who you are, right? I heard about two people, their jokes just come up and I put them when they come. In fact, my sermon, I'm hearing it at the same time that you're hearing it. This old lady is in the hallway of the nursing home, and an old man's flirting with her, and he's trying to, you know, just mess with her. Hey, how you doing? And she says, leave me alone. And he said, hey, do you know who I am? She said, no, but if you go to the front desk, they'll tell you. Okay. So sometimes you forget who you are. So you need to be in growth track today. You need to get in a group today because somebody needs to tell you who you are. Who are you? You're blessed, favored, anointed, an overcomer. You're not the wrong color. You're not the wrong age. You're not at the wrong time. You're exactly in the spot that you're supposed to be in. You just need to be the sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled version of you instead of the worried version of you. Somebody ought to help me right now because you're spending too much time worried about them when you ought to focus on Him. So I'll give you 10 seconds to praise Him. Come on, Weldon. Come on, first. Sunset. I can't hear you. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Look at your neighbor and say, we're having chairs today. We're having chairs today. White people, we're having church today. I said, we're having chairs today. Sometimes I just walk down the road doing that right there. The devil say, yo, $16 million, what are you going to do? And I say, what am I going to do? And I said, wait a minute, where God guides, He provides. If it's God's will, it's God's will. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Ain't nobody mad, but I wish somebody could hold what I'm saying right now. I'm here to tell you, you don't have nothing to fear. Because fear can't exist here. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I'll shout it again. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I will fear no evil. Shout it again. I will fear no evil. Shout it again. I will fear no evil. Come on, give Him some praise in here today. Come on, RPC, every campus around the world, Facebook. I feel like people are in the metaverse going, oh, man, I'm bumping into stuff right now. Yeah. Okay. So you got to listen to this woman as we watch this video and hear. It's phenomenal. This is your promise. Check it out.
This just in, you were looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers.
On that fateful day of 9/11, I was walking down the corridor towards my office. It was a very unusual morning in the office. We saw planes going into the World Trade Center. Right at that moment, my superiors called us all together, and we were put into another office, and we were told that we were going on a 24-hour full alert. As I was moving down the corridor of the Pentagon, the plane impacted right in the area where my office was.
Jane, we're just getting a report that there's been an attack on the Pentagon. This is the Pentagon.
This is
from the network. This is the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia.
And my superior stopped to talk to me. And because he stopped to talk to me, I was positioned rightly behind a beam. And that was one of the ways that the Lord saved me, by the way, was because when the plane came in, you know, it had 10,000 gallons of jet fuel, and all of that exploded. It was traumatic, and it was instantaneous. And it was at that moment that someone yelled, "Get down," and we were all a bunch of military people, so we all hit the floor immediately. And the next thing that I heard, it just welled up within me, and I heard, "Get out now." I saw a quick vision of one set of doors, And I knew the Spirit was telling me, get out, do it right now. And all of us shot through that door, and we got to a place of safety. And when I was on the floor and I heard that get out now, I had a colleague that I was in eye contact with. He guesstimated it was about 17 seconds. Within that time frame, a fireball came through and scorched everybody in its path. If I had not instantaneously obeyed God, I would have died. And so that's why it's so important, you know, that we hear the voice of God and we obey.
Wow, wow, wow. Come on, give it up for that. How many of y'all like that video? And I know y'all going to be DMing me on Instagram. Where do I get it? You can watch this sermon on Facebook or on our app and then screen record it and send it to your friends. That way I don't have all the DMs, but y'all want to show that. How many of you got some people that need to see that? Yeah. Let's go to Psalms 91. Let's just check this out. Live under the shelter of the Most High, and you will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Shadows, my shadow, I can see it, and you'd have to be about there to hit my shadow. That's a shadow of my hand, but it's really not my hand, it's just a shadow. So many times we're afraid of shadows. Ooh, it's gonna get you. How many of you have never been bitten by the shadow of a dog? Raise your hand. Never been bitten by the shadow of a dog. You've never been bitten by the shadow here in Florida of iguanas, an alligator. No. It just doesn't happen. So a shadow can't kill you. Shadows come to distract you. But if you stay close to the Lord under his shadow, that means that you're not totally connected all the time, but you're close. But some of you, your proximity got way off during COVID, and you're like, oh man, I need to look out for my own safety. And now we're finding out the repercussions from children education to all kinds of suicide, to a lot of things. People are made to live life together. Yeah. Together we're better. Everybody shout that. Why? Together we're better. When you're alone, that's when the enemy grabs you with your thoughts. You're way away from the shadow of godly people, way away from the shadow of the word, and then he takes advantage of you. Verse 2, this I declare of the Lord, he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is, I love the personal part, my God, and I'm trusting him. I'm trusting him. So there's nothing wrong with like looking out for your own. I'm not saying you do something stupid. You should be using common sense, but you do what you can do and God will do what you cannot do as long as you're staying in the refuge, the place of safety. Now, people get out of the will of God, and I've seen this happen a lot of times when they do whatever they want to do. First of all, our flesh a lot of times wants to do stuff that doesn't line up with the word. Hey, St. Louis, they're still here. They didn't like that part. So we want to do something. I want to marry them. It's been a long time since I've been asked out. It's been a long time since the job opportunity came. So here's the thing. You got to write this down. You may get what you want, but you might not want what you get. Slow it down. You may get what you want, but you might not want what you get. Because I would rather you be lonely alone than lonely with someone. I just need a man. No, you need a man of God. So now, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you in that safety zone, but you got to trust him. So many times we trust in ourselves. We get to thinking, I got to take care of me. How many of y'all, you're a little bit independent like that, you're kind of worried, and you're like, I am the responsible one at the house. I got to make sure everything's clean. I got to make sure the doors are locked. Come on, women, I got to make sure the laundry's done. I was ironing this morning going, man, this is what people really have to do. I had to iron my shirt because they told me last night, you look homeless, dude. Yeah. But I did, I ironed my shirt, but then I sat down. When I got up, it wrinkled. So they said, hey, don't wear your shirt, iron your shirt, bring it to church. So I was in the back room a while ago with a different shirt on, changed it, put on this one. The creative came. I said, I can't sit down. Why? I'm going to get in trouble. So I got to go up here. My point is life just goes on. And there's a lot of things during those times when you're ironing that you're thinking about stupid stuff and you're worried about dumb stuff and you think you got to take care of you. Here's the deal. You're not God. You will never be God. You would suck as God. And I got something else to say. Thank God you're not God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank God you're not God. Look at your neighbor and say, no offense, but thank God you're not God. Verse 3. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect his from a fatal plague. So, there you go. COVID's going to get me. COVID's going to get me. Oh, God, COVID. I'm going to mask, triple mask, double mask, put on saran wrap. I can't breathe. Okay. Nothing opposed to a mask. I'm just saying, don't trust in it. Does that make sure? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Say, why am I, how many of y'all made it through COVID? You're still alive. Raise your hand. Every cat's still alive. Still alive? Most of you still alive. Okay, so you made it through that plague. So these are things, this is a promise. You can stand on this and know, I am a covenant man. I'm a covenant woman. And they can put any kind of plague they want. The Bible said that no plague would come near me, and if I eat any deadly thing, it would not hurt me. Which I prayed that before when Nicole and I first got married. Verse 5 says, do not be afraid. You notice you keep seeing this thing, fear and afraid, fear and afraid, fear and afraid seems to dominate this passage. Fear and afraid, because I think about right now, all the campuses here in St. Louis, maybe you're sitting at Sunset Hills, 2,400 seats, 1,100 parking spots, and it needed to be re-asphalted not long ago. And I was reading in the Bible, and I opened up the Bible. I was in Shreveport, Louisiana, and I just flipped it open, and it said, maintain your lot. I was going to pave the lot, and it said, maintain the lot, and I knew that meant your lot in life, but I told the team, I said, hey, we're not going to pave it right now. Let's just fix it up. So we did like $30,000 worth of work. This a few years back. The next year, oil prices dropped so low that we got a bid this time and we saved $1 million. $1 million off of one parking lot. We got a bunch of them. So one parking lot, my point is that when you're afraid and you're in fear and you think it's dangerous, you'll never step out and do the thing God told you to do. So you're like, oh, hey, I don't know. Should I start the business? I don't know. Should I trust God? This is thin ice. No, it's very thick ice. Wow. And he's got it. And so what you and I have to do is say, hey, the Lord is going to actually give me the wisdom that I need to do the right thing at the right time when I get that business. And here's something else I feel the Holy Spirit say. You got to let go of the people that are in your past to reach forward to the people that are in your future. And you can't take everybody with you as bad as you want to take them with you. They can't go. Somebody ought to shout amen. They just can't go. And you may love them. You may like them. But every time God wanted to elevate me, he isolated me. Before elevation, there's isolation. I'll never forget the day. I'm kind of off in the weeds, except the Holy Spirit's leading me right now. I got 1 minute and 47 seconds to finish this sermon if I had somewhere else to go, but I ain't got nowhere to go today, so the time don't mean nothing. So real quick, when God, what was terrible to me and what was a terror to me is my dad dies at 56. I'm 53. He dies at 56. In a few weeks, he's gone. I take over the church. My mother immediately gets married to some guy who's trying to take over the church. The church grows from 180 people to 2,000, just like bam. And my mom is telling me I'm going the wrong way with the church and you're not gonna do this with the church and I've helped build this church and you're not gonna do it. And she would literally slap me until I would throw up before I'd preach. And all the people around me would tell me, get up there and defend yourself. They were afraid. Get up there and tell them what's right. Get up there and tell them the truth. And I said, no, I'm not gonna say anything. What I'm gonna do is honor my mom and I'm gonna keep preaching the word. And I kept preaching the word and thousands of people got saved. Somebody ought to shout amen. But if I would have walked in the terror of my dad died. Now my mama left me. Now my brother left me. Some of you look shocked. I haven't seen my mama in 19 years. I send her a check every week for $1,000 and pay all her health care, but she'll send back everything but the money. But guess what? I'm going to do what's right because it's right, even though it doesn't feel right. It doesn't look right. I'm here to tell you, God isolates you before he elevates you. You don't know what it costs to be me. You don't know what it costs to be somebody that's doing what God called them to do, but I guarantee you it wasn't free. Who am I talking to today? So sometimes you got to walk away from the people that you grew up with in the trailer park and say, God's doing a new thing in my life and I will not fear it. Somebody ought to give God praise today. I want more of that. Somebody ought to shout. Yeah. Hallelujah. Verse 6. We're 16 seconds over if you're taking medicine. And as an added bonus, nor dread the plague that stalks. You got a stalker, y'all. In darkness. Nor the disaster that strikes midday. What's going to happen if Kim Jong-un sends a missile? Shoo! Ain't coming to my house. How can you say that? The Lord loves me. He saw me in the shower today, took the razor out of my hand too. Don't you do that? He'll tell me, you walk in love now. You got angry and you got mad. Some days on Mondays, they're hard for me. Preached all Saturday, preached all Sunday, a lot of drama, a lot of stupid stuff. And so I meet with a group of people and we talk about everything that went wrong. This didn't go right and this went wrong and this went right. And sometimes I'm so tired. If I'm not careful, I just get angry and say, how many times do we have to go over this same stupid problem? How hard can this be? I know you don't like this. You want Joel. Praise God. I tell you right now, he's blessed. I'm favored. Joe's got more money than me. He hired some people to do it. In fact, his brother-in-law is one of them that does it. But the point is anger is a cousin to fear. Wow. Yeah. If you see angry, person's afraid. Anger in traffic, you almost killed me, so I'm going to kill you back. You won't treat me like that, Bob. Why are you doing that? You're reacting instead of thinking, hey, Bob, can we talk about that later? Because, Bob, I don't like to be treated that way. Well, how will he respond? I better say what I need to say. It's a free country. Bob either complies or goodbyes. Try it over here. When you're doing what the Lord told you to do, opposition will come, but don't react in fear. Nicole did that the other day. We were driving in the car. AJ is at RPC. AJ was in the car with us. We were in St. Louis. And I was driving fairly fast and moving in and out. And I feel like you guys, some of you like me, and some people like drive really fast past you, and you go, that moron's going to kill somebody. Come on, raise your hand. But when you do it, you're like, I'm in complete control. Come on, raise your hand, liar. You're in church right now, lying in church. And it is tough over here on this side when you don't have a steering wheel and you don't have a brake. So she's, and then I came up on something and needed to stop fairly quickly. And she said, ah! Just like, ah! AJ started laughing in the back. She scared me. And then I also got mad. So I said, just arrogantly, the screaming really helps. It helps. I just lost the girl vote. Boo! Yeah. The beloved Pastor Nicole, the sheep tainer. I read Hi God every morning. Yeah. What was that? She had every right to do it, but I was like, I was looking through in the rearview mirror, and AJ was going. My point is, making it funny, I'm almost done. Whether it's traffic, fear. What's going to come, fear. Sickness, dad died at 56. Your grandpa died in early. Your grandmother died early. My Aunt Ruth died in her 50s. That's your family tree. Hey, you know what's not going to happen? That. Because my family tree forked 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ hung and bled on the cross. I also take my vitamins. I am a vitamin junkie. You ought to follow me on Instagram. I take more vitamins than the vitamin shop has. And I take injections. See that right there? That's because I went to Dr. Eric this week and they shoot me full of vitamins. And so I act and feel way younger than I am. And then I'm also doing what I can in the natural. And then I'm saying, with long life, he'll satisfy me and show me his salvation. I will always look, act, and feel 20 years younger than I am. I'm aging gracefully and slowly in the name of Jesus. Why? Because the Lord loves me and I got a mission to do and I got things to do for the Lord. But what I'm not going to do is do the math on my life, because guess what? The Lord is the strength of my life, and whom shall I fear? Come on, don't just look at me today at those campuses. Come on, every campus ought to shout amen. We're almost done. I got to quit. I really do. But Psalms 91, you can just pull it up on your phone and screenshot it and use it as your screensaver. Right now, you got like something on your screensaver that's cute, little dog, little cat, your man. If you're really vain, some of you on your social media, it's just you. I love watching people do that, don't you? They don't know you're looking, and they. Anybody ever done this? You just turned it on your phone to get the camera, and you didn't realize that it was going towards you, and you were like this. You're like, "Oh God!" Come on, raise your hand if you've done that. I don't want to feel like I'm alone here. Stand up with me. If you stand up, I'll shut up, which is good. Don't be afraid. Everybody shout, don't be afraid. You know, if I had time, I would go over the story of Joshua and Caleb and how some of the people went in and they said, "Oh my gosh, the giants are so big. We're afraid." Two guys came back and said, "Man, the grapes are magnanimous." That's how you look at it. God's got you. He's got this situation. And I want you to quit being so hard on you. I want to talk to you about that. It just keeps coming up in me by the Holy Ghost. I'm talking to some girls and guys. You're just down on yourself. You need to square your shoulders back and act like things are right, even though they're not right yet. Then where the mind goes, the man follows. So when you're going to church, you're hearing these words today that were humorous. No, they were for you. And if you wouldn't have been at church today, you wouldn't have felt that. Raise your hand if you're glad you came to church today. You're like, "Man, I struggled. I'm not sure. But I got something out of it." God's not done with you. Fact is, he hasn't even started with you. I was 34 before I started any of this stuff. When my dad died, I decided, okay, I'm in business, and me and Nicole were doing great, and we had already made enough to be comfortable probably for the rest of our lives. I was walking around a fountain at this beautiful home that we built, and I heard the Lord say, "Someday you're going to regret this if you don't use your humorous, entertaining way to help people." I told Nicole, "God's telling me to sell everything we own and to go make Faith Church great and build it." It's called Faith Christian Ministries then. You go on television. That was 19 years ago. She said, "Oh, your dad just died. You've lost your mind. We can never get all this back. We've built everything. We bought this, our place, and like 20 acres, and then the acreage came next door, another 20 acres. We owned everything. We're going to have a house and acreage for Austin and Ashton. We had it all planned out." Which, how many of you know that's stupid? You don't want the kids living that close. What was he thinking? But when I look back and I see the decision that I made, I was afraid when I did it. I was scared I could never get it back, and I was scared it wouldn't work. I went on television, and if you follow me on Instagram, you will see last night that there was a woman in a bar at about 2 a.m. And there I was preaching in the bar, and she tagged me in it and said, "This is what should be happening." And I don't ask for any money on television. If you come to church, I'm going to ask because we need to buy more television time and change more lives. But my point is, it all goes back to whatever that thing is you're afraid. You're afraid you're going to lose the clients. You're afraid you're going to lose your life. The fear is captivating. It's got you chained. And I'm going to pray a prayer right now that's going to release you if you'll mix your faith with it. Father, I pray right now for our great church. It's one church with many rooms. God, whether I'm physically in the room at Ferguson like I was last week, or Weldon like I was last week, or I'm here, it doesn't matter that I'm in the room. It matters that you're in the room. And Jesus, I know that you can do what only you can do and move in and out every row and up and down every aisle and change people's life for the better. And I speak to you, you spirit of fear, take your hand off of God's property. Thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord a great hand as you watch this.